Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Tender Loving Care with your host myself, Pauline, and my darling Kate. Every week, Kate and I break down a show from the TLC network, the name of the network that I believe for the longest time was the acronym for Tender Loving Care. And when I found out that it actually stood for the Learning Channel and I saw the types of shows that are on that channel, my deep confusion bred this podcast. Each week, Kate and I will randomly select a show to cover from our Wheel of Shame, which contains all of the shows on TLC from past and present, and we will find out if anybody is actually learning anything from the Learning Channel. Hello, everyone, one and all. Hello, 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 guys. I hope you are doing beautifully. Housekeeping at the top of the show. I know yesterday's episode, I kind of went through everything. I pitched our Patreon. I let you know the next four episodes we have coming up this week. I let you know we have our merchandise. I plugged all of that. And I also gave you an update on Kate. Kate is still in the process of getting everything together to move from Austin all the way back to LA. So just me right here with you, as it has been for a while, which has been beautiful. And I just want to say thank you to everyone for the support and DMing me. As you know, Tender Loving Care podcast on Instagram. I read every single DM and respond to every single DM. So thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, guys, we're going to get into our Wheel of Shame show today. And then I'm going to spin one for next week. In the meantime, I have to tell you there's something that happened to me this weekend. Because, you know, I love to just spread my pain, hope, love, stories of gratitude, stories of insanity that happen to me on a daily basis in Los Angeles with you. This isn't this crazy, but it is extremely annoying. Okay, so I was coming in from, I'd been to like a meeting and I was coming in through the door, and in my hand, okay, this is what I had, because it's always the same. I always have a ton of stuff in my hand. So I have my backpack on, okay, which was kind of half, I think I had my backpack like over my arm, one arm. I had my laptop in another hand and I had a coffee. Now all of this would be fine, except I needed to go for a wee so badly. So you know that point where you're leaving somewhere and thinking, should I go for a wee before I drive home? No, I'll be fine. But I should have, but I did not. So I get to the door. I'm coming in the door, got the keys in, and you know, I'm like, I have to run to the toilet. I need to go and wee. I need to go and wee. I need to go and wee. So I come in and I like put everything down on the sofa. Now, for some reason, I don't know whether it was one of those weird mind tricks that I thought I was carrying something lighter than I was, because I threw my backpack down, which was pretty light, put my coffee cup, which was super light, on the table, and then just let go of my laptop. And it was as though I thought it was like a paper bag or something. Unclear what was going on with me, but I dropped it. This laptop fell, like, vertically, not horizontally, vertically, directly down on my toes. Guys, I screamed, fell onto the sofa, and burst into tears. It was so painful, and I still need to wee. So I hobble, right, as I'm crying. I hobble as I'm crying in pain to the toilet, and I wee. And I'm like, all right, one disaster. At least I haven't wet myself. Like, at least I did not pee on myself. Because if I'd laid on the sofa crying and peeing myself at the same time, it really would have been a bad day. So I come back out, and I'm like, oh, my toe. It's on my left foot, and it's my second and third toe. And I'm thinking, oh, this is so bloody painful. Oh, this is insane. Oh, this is so painful. Da, 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 da. So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's just a little bit bruised, whatever. I take my sock off. I look down, because there was always the fear. There's always the fear of looking, because of course my mind starts racing. What if I broke my toe? I'm not going to A&E. You know, I don't go to doctors. I'm not going to go to A&E. What am I going to do? Da, da, da. So I look down and I already see the blood coming through the sock. And I'm like, ah, this is not good. Guys, I take off my sock, and it is as though someone has got a screwdriver, stuck it in the middle of my toe where the knuckle is, or the joint is, I should say, the joint, and just peeled back half of the flesh. I kid you not. And it's already bruising. Like, I'm somebody that bruises so easily. So if you, like, pinch me or just grab my arm, I will be left with a bruise. So my foot, my toe is already going black and blue. This is minutes after the incident. It's going black and blue. Blood is gushing out of this open sore. The flesh has been, like, curled back. The third toe, at this point, it's a disaster too. There's no cuts, but it's all going black and blue, black and blue. So then, luckily, as you know, I do consider myself a doctor. I do consider myself a lawyer, police detective, forensic investigator. So although I do not have any qualifications for any of those job titles, I do have a first aid kit. So when I got the first aid kit and I got it out, and I just thought, okay, I'll just put Neosporin, which is like antiseptic, on there, because then I thought, well, if this all gets infected and then I have to amputate my toe, I mean, that's the level I was going to. So I cleaned it all up, did that, put some gauze, and then it just, like, bled through the gauze. It's really bad, guys. So I did that, then I finally put plaster on it, and like a Band-Aid. We call them plasters in England. Put a plaster on it, and just hope for the best. I've been hobbling ever since. It is now, what day is it? It's Tuesday. This happened Saturday? Yeah, Saturday. And I am hobbling around like a maniac. I don't know what's going on. I didn't break it because I can, like, move it, right? So I didn't break it. But it's so swollen. So I'm just trying to elevate it and put ice on it at the moment. That's what I'm doing. So just wanted to let you know, guys, thoughts and prayers, please. Thoughts and prayers for my toes. All right. Let's go into the show. That was it. So that was just my little story for you. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. All right, let's go into the show that we picked on the Wheel of Shame a couple of weeks ago. This is Houdini's Last Secrets. Here's a synopsis given to us by the Discovery Channel. George Hardine, the living great-nephew of Harry Houdini, enlists the help of a team of experts, including professional magician Lee Terbozik, to investigate his great-uncle Harry Houdini's illusions to see how they could have been done. So I told you I was actually quite excited about this, because I've mentioned a lot of times before on the show that I always wanted to be a magician. I still think there is a possibility. I mean, people start, you know, I just was reading an article about how somebody just went to medical school at like 55. You know, things can happen. I would love to be a magician. So always loved magic. Loved it. So I saw this and I had a stage where I was obsessed with Houdini. I really was when I was younger. I mean, he was a fascinating character, and what he accomplished in his stage performance, his personal life, how he died, just the whole legacy that he left behind was amazing. So this is a show, like it says, that has his great nephew on it. And it was like 2019, the show, and there's quite a few episodes. I chose an episode 2, The Bullet Catch. So this is all a mixture of the history of magic. It has a lot of like clips of old news clippings of when Houdini was performing these tricks, news articles about him, who he was, how the audience was, magicians before him that he followed. I mean, it was really extensive, the history, which I loved. And just how magic began. I mean, the illusions that we see now are just mind-blowing. And to think back then, you know, when this magic, these magicians were really earning livings as being magicians and creating these illusions and what they were to people. It was fascinating. They hadn't seen anything like this before. It really was amazing. And one of these big tricks that Houdini did was the bullet catch. Now, what they're investigating is the fact whether Houdini actually did do this bullet catch or not. So the bullet catch is the trick, which I'm sure we're kind of all familiar with once I explain it. It's a magician saying that someone is going to shoot a gun directly at him. It's going to smash through something. In this case, the original bullet catch, it would smash through a pane of glass. And then the magician would open up his mouth and he would have the bullet in there that he caught in his teeth. That's the illusion. So they go through trying to discover the evidence of whether Houdini actually performed this. And they said there wasn't a lot of evidence. They found one newspaper article that states where it said something like when Houdini performed this trick. But it is such a dangerous trick. And they talk about Houdini a lot and how he approached all of his illusions and tricks. Whenever I say illusions and tricks, all I can think of is Job from Arrested Development saying, tricks are something that whores do for money, Michael. That's all I can think of when I say tricks. If you're an Arrested Development fan, you'll get that reference. But it was so dangerous that Houdini actually erred on the side of caution, which surprises people. There had been 12 magicians that have been killed performing this stunt. And they don't believe he actually did it, and all they have is that one article. So they're going into the history of it all. They talk about this fascinating magician that in 1918, he performed around in the early 1900s, Chung Ling Su. Now, it's not obviously very not PC now, but this was a white man that created the persona of a Chinese man, and his character was Chung Ling Su. And he would perform these outrageous magic tricks and illusions. And he had performed this bullet catch before. In 1918, he did it again, but he was shot in the stomach on stage and died. And Harry said that he wanted to try it. There was a friend of Harry Houdini's who apparently wrote him a letter after Chung Ling Su died performing this stunt and said, "Do not do this. This is far too dangerous. Too many people have been killed doing this. Don't do it." So they go through the history of how people have actually performed this. And they said, you know, it's using blanks, essentially. So as I'm listening to all of this and watching this, it's very relevant that we have Alec Baldwin in July facing his trial for his part in the killing of the Rust director. Sorry, I don't have her name. I do apologize. I'm going to Google this. Rust director. I believe she was the director. Was she the producer? Alec Baldwin. Sorry, I want to get her name right because it's not fair. So that it was the director and Hutchins. Writer and director. Okay, and Hutchins was the... I'm so sorry. I'm looking up this up in real time because I just don't cinematographer, Helena Hutchins, was shot and killed. And Joel Souza, who is the director of the film, was also injured, was wounded when Alec Baldwin shot a gun during filming, thinking that it was a blank, and it killed Hutchins and wounded Souza. We all know what happened and this incredibly tragic event on set. And all of this is happening. I'm watching the show and we have the armorer, that was in charge of the gun props, has just been convicted to, I think it was 18 months in prison for her part in the manslaughter. And Alec Baldwin's going on trial in July for it. So this is all due to safety on set. And I've been on set before, once again, talking about the dizzying heights of fame. No, but I've been on set before when I've had to carry a gun. I was playing a cop. And what they do, they are so incredibly vigorous in my experience of what it safety on set. For example, my gun was obviously, it wasn't like light plastic because it was very realistic, but it was not a working gun. It did not have blanks in it and it did not have bullets in it. And they double check all of this in front of you before they give it to you. It's a prop. However, you are told when you're in set, this is a little bit of background in case anyone's interested in this, but even if you hold a complete prop gun that does not work, that does not have blanks in it and does not have bullets on it, when you're walking around set with that prop, you are forbidden to, when you're holding it, you have to have your trigger finger completely straight up against the barrel. You are not allowed to have your finger.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On the trigger. And I was really confused by this. I was like, it's a prop. Like, this does not work. And I would get called out on set. There would be the handler or whoever it was going past. It'd be like, no, Pauline, hand straight on the barrel. And I'm like, but why? This does not work. It's not a gun. And the way they explained it is really interesting. They said, because it teaches you good behavior if you end up, good habits if you end up then holding a gun on set. So even if you're holding a completely inoperable gun, they force you to never have your finger on the trigger. It has to be straight against the barrel because that habit can save your life or save the life of others. They're so strict on the sets that I had been when I had to have a gun. And of course, we've seen it in Rust now that I just discussed, and then on The Crow as well when Brandon Lee was killed because there was a blank in there. So they go into how blanks aren't always safe. So all of this is taking place in this stunt ranch that they have in Texas, where they investigate the stunts and illusions and everything like that. And the stunt coordinator shows how dangerous a blank is. So they have, what did they have in front of them? It was a bottle. It was like a plastic bottle with water in it. And they said, this is a blank that I'm putting into the gun. And they shot it directly at the water bottle, and the water bottle exploded. And they said, see, this is not safe to be shot by a blank. But what happens in numerous times with blanks that has happened on film sets, they mentioned. Now, this was obviously recorded in 2019, so before the Rust incident. But why, and I do believe this may have been the case with Brandon Lee as well, it's not, a blank can kill you, A, if it's too close, but also because Sometimes if a gun is using blank after blank after blank, which can happen on a film set, for example, it builds up residue in the chamber. And what can happen is that then if there's residue being built up in there, a blank can go in and interfere with the blank, so that residue ends up expelling the blank and going into, you know, expelling basically into the object, which can kill them. So it was really interesting learning that. So they were very safety precautious and describing how blanks are still not safe. They then go and meet with, they're going through the history of all of this. They go through and meet a magician in New York City named Ben Robinson. He's performed this before. And he is like a magic kind of historian. And he's performed this trick before. And he speaks about Chung Lu Su's death. He talks about how it happened. And he says he has done this, cat the bullet trick, five times. And he's been injured three times. Five times he's been injured three times. What usually happens, they don't give away on this because they have magicians on this. They don't give away the magician's secrets, but what they do is they tell you some things. He says, for example, I'm not going to tell you exactly how the trick is done. He said, but what Sung Chung Ling Su, the way they did it, is they would have a false barrel in the gun. So all of you out there that kind of knows about guns, I don't know anything about them. I was learning all of this from here, but they said there was a false barrel that wouldn't discharge. And then there would be an explosion on the glass. And then the magician would pretend as they'd been shot, stand up, and he had the bullet in his mouth. They are still saying, we don't think that Houdini would have done this. They then kind of go into saying, well, why don't we just try out if you could catch a blank in your mouth? So let's do it with a pig head. This was super disturbing. There was no warning. They literally, it's like next scene, they have a close-up of this decapitated pig's head, okay, with all of its teeth, and they're like, look at its teeth. They're like pulling back its lips. For me as a vegetarian, I was not happy about this, guys. I was not happy. They're pulling back its lips and looking at its molars and seeing, all right, let's shoot the decapitated pig's head in the teeth and see if it would rupture the teeth. It's like, I don't really want to see this, but they did it anyway. And the teeth were shattered, obviously. So they're like, oh, it would shatter humans' teeth. Yeah. They did more research into this. And honestly, I really liked this bit because it was the history. It was going through all these old articles in the newspapers of this, you know, roll up and see Houdini perform the greatest trick of his life. You know, all the showmanship and everything back then. It really was great. I'll tell you, it was really, really great. Then they found a very, very interesting article that they believe proved that Houdini actually did perform this task, perform this illusion. So they found an article that talks about Houdini doing this to a live studio audience. And what they would do first is that he'd call some out the audience, right? He'd say, come up here. He'd describe what he's going to do. And he said, but first, before someone shoots me with this gun and I get this and I catch the bullet in my teeth, I want you to shoot the gun and I want you to prove that it's real. He says, and here's the thing, I'm going to hold up a big board of wood, and you can shoot me anywhere, just to prove that this gun is real. Shoot me anywhere if you want. Shoot me in the arm, shoot wherever you want. And every single person shot the board first. You'd say, well, obviously they wouldn't want to shoot them in the arm, but God knows how that would work these days. But then everybody shot in the board. It never failed. Everybody went to the board first. And he said, see, it's proof. This is proof. It's a real gun. And this is a real bullet. And then he would perform the trick. So then what's interesting is they've done all this research, right? And a lot of it is behind the scenes. And the magician in this decides, then they put it into practice. Woo! It was really nervous watching this after like everything that's going on with Rust and all this prosecution at the moment. I doubt this would be able to be made today. I don't know, maybe it would, but it's very, very dangerous. So here's how they did it. you see Lee getting ready, Lee who's the magician. And what it's out in this ranch, and what they're going to do is he's going to stand with a plate, with a porcelain plate in front of him. And the bullet is going to go through the porcelain plate. So you'll see the porcelain plate explode. And then he will fall down and he'll stand up and he'll have a bullet in his mouth. Okay? So they set up everything. Lee goes over to, I think it was, it wasn't George, it was the other, it was the armorer, the guy that was the expert with guns. And they first check Lee's mouth for any bullet. There's nothing in there. Okay? They check that. Then they check the gun and they see them putting a blank into the gun. Okay? And then you see, they said, are we ready? We're all ready. So they shoot the gun. The plate explodes. Lee falls down. They all run to him and he stands up and he has a bullet in his mouth. And it all happens so quickly. It's amazing to watch. And he breaks down some of how it was done. So they shoot a blank, obviously not at the plate. On the back, he's holding the plate. Imagine it. He's holding it in front of his body. Okay. On the back of it, it has something that looks like one of those very, very cruel mouse traps. And it's a mechanism that he's, so he's holding it. And then as soon as that gun's fired, he lets go of the mechanism, which splits the plate. He falls down as though he's been shot, stands up and the bullet in his mouth. And the only thing that wasn't explained is how he put the bullet in the mouth, because they had checked his mouth before he went to go and perform it. But that's all sleight of hand magician stuff that we don't know. So they performed the trick. It was very, very interesting seeing the back of the plate and all of that stuff and all the research they did. I actually really enjoyed this show. Like I say, as a frustrated musician, I am that as well. Frustrated magician. It was really cool to see all of this. And I loved Houdini and what a legend and how he was eventually killed. I don't know if any of you are, I'm sure some of you are familiar with how he was killed. I mean, this man did illusions such as being in a straitjacket underwater and escaping the straitjacket and then getting out before he drowned. He did the bullet trick, the bullet catch that we just found out here. He did so many experimental illusions that were life-threatening. And how he ended up dying is he would have a trick where somebody would come and punch him as hard as they could in the stomach. And somebody punched him so hard that it ruptured his spleen. And he had no idea. And he was about to go on stage and he collapsed. And it's because his spleen had ruptured and it was infected and he died. And the trick about being punched in the stomach, that was also another punch. It was something, I really don't know the details of it, but it was the way he could like avoid getting punched really hard. I can't remember. It was all sleight of hand. Something was going on. But that trick didn't work for him and it ruptured his spleen. So it was very, very interesting. I believe it was a trick. Yeah, I believe that's correct. Correct me if I'm wrong. It wasn't that he got into a fight. I don't believe that's what it was. I do believe his spleen was ruptured due to a trick. That was the end of Houdini. But he did leave a legend, and I just thought the show was actually really interesting. And his great nephew that's on it, it's great to have that connection. And he looks so much like him, which is a crazy thing to say. You'd think, oh, really, does he? But he does. He has that square jaw. His hair was kind of the same. It was really interesting. So I think, honestly, it was a very, like, wholesome show. Do you know what I mean? It was a show that was interesting, educational, and fun, and to me, really interesting. Something wholesome for, like, a rainy day. Like, if you just wanted to watch a couple of episodes of something that you thought was interesting and about magic and something you could learn from. It was a good show. So out of £600 of learning, which we give all of our shows from my £600 life, I'm going to give this a 375. I'm going to give it 375. All right. So that means we need to pick our next show, guys. So let's head on over to our beautiful and glorious Wheel of Shame. Oh, we're at our Wheel of Shame. Oh, we're at our Wheel of Shame. How beautiful. We are here. It's all in all of its glory. It has many a fun and exciting show to go. Let's have a look at what's on the Wheel of Shame that we can pick for. Let me remove Houdini's Last Secrets because we've done that. We have Fatal Vows. We have Prison Wives. That is going to be a good one. We have Deadly Affairs. We have The Staircase. Now, that is an interesting murder case. We have Naked and Afraid. We have Ghost Adventures. Hang on, we've done Ghost Adventures, haven't we? Yeah, I need to get rid of that. We have Sex Sent Me to the Slammer. We have Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmerman. We have Buying Naked, which, guys, I am so excited for, because I can tell you that is going to be a shit show, and I'm here for it. We have £1,000 Sisters. That's going to be a bit tricky to, well, I guess I just, it's not currently airing. I could do the last season that I watched, but I've already watched that. Fatal Vows, Paranormal Court on Camera. There's a lot going on here. There's murder and ghosts and a little bit of traveling. All right, so let's spin it and see what we get for next week, guys. 3, 2, 1, spin. Round and round she goes. Where she stops, nobody knows. Boom. The wheel has, look, as we always say, Kate is going to be heartbroken on this one, but I'm sorry, Kate, the wheel has given us what we deserve, and that is Buying Naked. Yes! Guys, I haven't looked at the descriptor of this show, but what I think it is people, they must be nudists, and they're just house hunting, and I hope to God they're all naked with their real estate agents, please. I'm so excited we got this. This is going to be amazing. All right, next week we are doing Buying Naked. I will put on the episode. Hopefully there's multiple episodes of this, or maybe there's just one. I don't know if there's that many people that would sign up to the show. I really hope they're all naked. Guys, please, right? Where will they put the mic? Anyway, that is what we're going to be covering next week. I'm going to love you and leave you. Don't forget to get in touch. I love speaking to you all. I answer every single DM and every single email. You can email at tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com, or you can DM us on Instagram at tenderlovingcarepodcast. I read and respond to everything. Have a fabulous rest of your day, afternoon, evening, whatever you're about to do. If you're going to sleep, have a beautiful, blissful sleep. And I'll be back on Friday with a Patreon episode. For our Patreon members, we are going to be dissecting the docuseries, The Garden, Cult or Commune. And we will also have our Bravo shows reviewing The Valley with a very special guest. And then our Vanderpump Rules episode. I love you all. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.